Good morning, Forever Family.
Good morning.
All right. This is Celebrate Recovery Day, so y'all are going to have to do better than that for me. Good morning, Forever Family.
Good morning.
I'm Jake, a grateful believer in Christ and disciple, who also happens to be in recovery for a lot of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Somebody told me in our group here that I should not do this. What I'm about to do. I need you to prove them wrong. So, and we've been sitting for a little bit. Can everybody stand up real quick? Thank you. Ooh, it's a lot of power. Now, everybody move forward a couple rows if there's open seats in front of you, please. I know. I was told, don't do that, Jake. They will kill you. They won't do it. I can't preach to empty seats. Awesome. Thank you so much. The New Testament reading I'd like to go over today. See, Marcy, I told you they'd do it. comes out of Luke chapter 15. I did that again. And it's the parable of the lost sheep. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to them. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners. And he eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' So just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So instead of doing a sales pitch for CR, like I normally do when I'm up here for you guys, right? And I'm gonna do something a little bit different and tell you about why I continue to be so involved with Celebrate Recovery. I've done the 12 steps like 15, 20 times now. But why am I still here? And I think it'd be better to tell you why I'm still doing this and so involved, more so than telling you the war stories of my past, right? I could tell you that I was a liar and a cheater and an alcoholic and all these other things that I've done in my past, but that's not who I am now. So, and if you want to hear those stories, I'll be happy to share them with you one-on-one. Or you could come to Celebrate Recovery on Thursday nights. And I could also tell you about how I'm working on a 20-year marriage now that should have evaporated and building integrity with my 2 sons. And I'm going to pastor licensing school here in about, well, it's 4 hours now. So there is hope on the other side. If you look in your bulletins real quick, on the right side there, I put the 8 principles of Celebrate Recovery. Yes, we do the 12 steps, just like any other AA group, NA group, OA group, SA group, whatever. But we also do the 8 principles that parallel along with those. And if you notice, they come with a biblical comparison, right? Notice anything about those biblical comparisons? It's the Sermon on the Mount, right? You guys are going to have to wake up. This is Celebrate Recovery. All right? It's the Beatitudes. So let's look at the first couple of principles and Beatitudes that go with them. The first 3 are about admitting our own shortcomings and that we actually need something more in our life. So the first one, realize I'm not God. I admit I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3, and earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to God, and that God has the power to help me recover. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, and consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Happy are the meek. Matthew 5:5. These are the principles in which somebody enters recovery for the first time. They also happen to be how somebody enters into that crazy word, discipleship, that we're all supposed to enter into. Just think about it for a second. Happy are the spiritually poor. My life is unmanageable. Ask somebody that's dependent on substances or somebody that's just experienced a close death in the family, lost their job, or are going through marriage issues. Ask them if they have control of the situation. Ask them if they feel like they're full of the Holy Spirit. Ask them if they feel powerless. Of course they do. But at this point, this is the blessing. They only have one direction to look. And that's up, towards God, towards Jesus. Jesus is saying, look at me when everything is falling apart. Know that you need the Holy Spirit to get through this. We feel utterly powerless, utterly and spiritually poor. The only power I need in these situations is to be meek, submit to my higher power, and know that it's not by my own self-will that I'll get through this, because my own self-will got me into Celebrate Recovery. But I'll get through it by God's power and God's will. In other words, this is step one in discipleship. Become the empty vessel. Now, if you feel like you've had plenty of the Holy Spirit, you don't need anybody's help to find more of God's power, that you're not spiritually poor, even on those mountaintop experiences, just ignore what I just said. This message isn't for you. Stay with the 99. I'm going to find the lost sheep. My Celebrate Recovery Forever family is looking for one more. The next couple of principles have to do with how to start moving forward in our relationship with Christ. This is what every disciple of Christ has to do to get right with God, right? To start walking the walk before we ever start talking the talk. It's also sanctification. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to somebody I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. And voluntarily submit to any and all of God's changes that he wants to make in my life, and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5:6. In other words, if you want to be pure of heart in order to find some happiness, you have to come clean. Empty the closets. Deal with your lies or your deception. Not just to yourself. That's way too easy. We can lie to ourselves and say everything is going to be just fine, but by confessing everything to God and then to an actual living, breathing somebody else that we trust, we can't lie anymore and we begin the healing. We have someone that can hold on to us, and hold us accountable, and call us out when we're starting to go back to those things. This is the point when we redo the really hard work. We list all of the good and the bad and the ugly. We list all of the people that we've hurt in life in our past. We list the people that have hurt us. And we start to build, and we call this the dreaded inventory, taking our inventory of our lives. And we start to build an accountability team. And accountability is huge for Celebrate Recovery. Should be for all of us. With that new accountability, we start making the changes to be better neighbors, friends, husbands, wives, fathers, and mothers. We start to walk as Jesus does, talk as Jesus does, love as Jesus does. And we also find that we're not alone. We have other people that also struggle with life. We start to find forgiveness, grace, and mercy. We start to take that mercy and grace to others in our lives who may have not been so, we may have not been so merciful to before. But if you're already feeling like you're fair with everybody, that you're honest in all things, let me say that again, honest in all things, let me say, if you never gossip, judge, tell little white lies or slander, ignore what I just said. This message isn't for you. Stay with the 99. I'm going to look for lost sheep. Once we've named the reality of our past, we start cleaning it up, one relationship at a time, with help and support of somebody walking alongside of us. Evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those that have hurt me, and make amends for the harm I've done to others, when possible, except when to do that would harm them or others. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the peacemakers. What relationships do I need to reconcile? And more importantly, what responsibility for the relationship falling apart in the first place do I actually carry? What's real? What's not? We stop blaming everybody else for what goes wrong in our lives. You ever met those people?
Not my fault.
This includes, believe it or not, our relationship with God. Look around, look behind you. That's part of the reason I had you come up front. Look at all those empty seats. People blame God for how we act towards them. We own our part of a hurt relationship without expecting anything back. We do this not in expectation of forgiveness or understanding, because we learn that we can't control how other people feel towards us. But we do it to know that we've done everything in our power to restore our part of the relationship and keep moving forward. We put to rest worry, doubt, and anxiety that comes from questions like, I wonder how they would feel if they only knew this or that. I wonder how they would feel if they knew about the secrets I held from them. Disciples gain courage from their faith and learn to reconcile their relationships to make them right, or at least as right as possible. But if all the relationships in your life, your past and your present, are hunky-dory, peachy keen, if you've never hurt anybody from your own anger, selfishness, lying, ignore what I just said. This message isn't for you. Stay with the 99. I'm looking for lost sheep. The next principle is commonly called a maintenance principle. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God, His will for my life, and the power to follow that will. This one, I feel, the church often gets right. But too often, we rest on our laurels with this one, don't we? After we get saved, we kind of just rest right here. Don't get me wrong, this is hugely important. We have to arm ourselves with the Word of God, know what God desires, gain knowledge from His examples in the Bible, and most importantly, have conversations with our Abba in order to know if what we're doing, where we're going, what we're dreaming is actually of His will, or we're still stuck on our own will. It's how we know if what we're doing, how we're behaving is pleasing in His eyes, and if we are on the right path. The danger here, at least for me anyway, is that I can get complacent knowing that I'm just kind of generally a good dude. I go to church, right? And therefore, I don't need too much work. I'm just kind of okay. But if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what God's plan for your life is, what your mission is in that, how He would have you act in every situation of life without reading the Word or being in constant prayer, ignore what I just said. This message isn't for you. Stay with the 99. I'm going to look for the lost sheep. Finally, we come to the last principle. Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10. This is the fun part. This is where we become hope dealers, where we become disciples. We become fishers of men and women. We stop worrying about if I'm qualified to be one of the sheep or not. We start to think, I don't even want to be one of the sheep. They look too comfortable. Jesus doesn't seem to excite them. Heck, Jesus doesn't even want to spend much time with them, it seems. He's always looking out there for the lost ones, for the one more. Wait a minute. If I want to be like the one who's perfect, if I want to love as Christ loves, if I want to reach the people that are just as confused and hurting and broken or lost as I was as a sheep, I'm going to have to live as a disciple going after the very heart of God, which are His people. I'm going to yield to my own desires and do what's required in order to live in community with God's people as an ambassador of Christ himself. But if you're already a disciple of Christ, reaching to the community, showing people, including your own friends and family, how you have been set free with your actions and by your love, if you have a burning desire to share the grace that sets you free on a daily basis because you simply can't hold it back, and you're willing to walk alongside others with similar life experiences as yours, ignore what I just said. This message isn't for you. You've already left the 99. Welcome to the forever family. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So I'll leave you with this. When you're thinking about those people going into recovery, when you see them on the street, not all of them are drugs and alcohol. Some of us are hurting from broken marriages. Some of us are hurting from, we scream at everybody and everything. But don't feel sorry for us, because I know what's on the other side of this process. I know what's on the other side of their sanctification journey. Encourage us, walk beside us, be excited for us, because while we may be in a tough spot in life, we currently experience pain, doubt, and worry, there is hope. And people sometimes wonder why I actually smile when they come in to celebrate recovery for the first time. And they are broken, and they are in so much pain, and I can't hold back the smile. I'm sorry, but I can't. It's not because I'm a sadistic fool, of course not. But I know what's coming. I know the process. I know the only way they have to look from that place is up. I know that they know that they know they are spiritually poor. They're not faking anything. I know that they are willing to put the work to get right with themselves, God, and others in their life. I know that they will soon be devoted disciples of Christ, openly sharing their stories of pain and redemption. I know that they will strive to be just like the good shepherd, leaving the flock to go get just one more like them. The question is, do you choose to be one of the 99? Pretend to have it all under control, or do you choose to admit that you might be lost, or at least you once were? Are you willing to show the other lost sheep how you were found? Celebrate Recovery is always open to anyone that wants to just worship. You won't find us to judge you, whether you come in to work on your laziness or your anger, your marriage, your relationship with your kids, an addiction, or control issues. We accept all sheep. We won't try to fix you, but we will point to the one that came. We aren't secretive, but we won't talk about you either. We are the safe place that the church should be and wants to be, but often isn't. There's no judgment, expectations of perfection or condemnation. Just come as you are. One thing that we do at Celebrate Recovery, for even the smallest baby steps forward, is we do a chip ceremony to mark every little part of that. And, I didn't bring them up here with me. They'll be up here in a second. The first one is the blue chip. Now, first service, I realize we have a division of red and blue in the state of Kentucky. I'm sorry. Celebrate Recovery didn't know that. The first step is the blue chip. Sorry, Louisville fans. But we're going to be up here during communion after you take the bread and the wine and grape juice, after you remember what Christ did for you. I invite you to take a blue chip give back to just one more. Start your discipleship and your sanctification journey. Doesn't mean you have to come to celebrate recovery, but you have to do something more. And so take a blue chip, lay whatever's holding you back, whatever it is, lay it down at the cross. Take a blue chip and let's start that movement forward in discipleship. Let's pray. Lord Father God, I thank you so much for programs like Celebrate Recovery, for mission trips to Peru, for reaching out for just one more, for this church family, for having somebody to walk alongside of us on this journey, so that when we don't get it right, when we're not exactly focused on you, somebody's there to say, hey, look this way. And hopefully that's always towards you, Lord. In your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.